I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr. We found out yesterday that Goldman Sachs is going to invest almost $10 million to try to prevent recidivism among young men at Rikers. And it's not just out of the goodness of its heart. They would get a return on that investment if the program succeeds. New York will be the first American city to try out this new model of social impact bond financing. And we could see more of these kinds of deals in the future. Joining us now is Linda Gibbs, the Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services, who announced this deal yesterday. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. So first of all, tell me the basic concept of a social impact bond. What changes about how a social program runs when you have a big private investment and have an incentive, a profit incentive at the end?
Well, the basic concept here is that we have very high government spending on a lot of interventions without getting the kinds of positive social outcomes that we want. The concept of a social impact bond is to introduce a preventive intervention that will produce better outcomes and reduce the government spending on those high-end costs, saving taxpayers money. The source of funds for that preventive intervention are from private investors. And so this was initiated in the UK a few years back. There they did it with some foundation dollars investing in their intervention. And they created a model that now many of us in the US are looking at. And so this initiative that the mayor announced yesterday is the first time that we see a social impact bond being experimented with here in the U.S.
So the idea is it turns the focus to the results of the social program. Is the idea also that it allows you to be more creative and entrepreneurial in thinking because it's not taxpayer money at the front end?
Well, we have so many really innovative community-based organizations that are doing great things, and this creates a vehicle for new investor dollars to help spread those innovations. And the focus for government is whether or not we're getting the best social outcomes. So in the case of the initiative that we announced yesterday, what we want is we want young people to turn their lives around. And so this is focused on young men who have taken a step in the wrong direction in their lives, and we want to work with them while they're on Rikers Island, which is our correctional facility here in New York, as listeners know, and work with them to help them to think about their life choices and the consequences of their acts before they take those make those decisions at the moment that they're in that point of perhaps taking another step in the wrong direction, helping them with the tools they need to make better choices and then keep them out of trouble, keep them in good, positive relationships with school, with work, and prevent their being reincarcerated again.
So the program's called Adolescent Behavioral Learning Experience, or ABLE. It'll be administered by the social services group MDRC. What role will Goldman Sachs have? Are they just providing the money up front? Are they doing any kind of monitoring? If they have a profit incentive at the end, what are they doing to try to make sure the program's actually effective?
All the terms of this have been agreed on in advance, and so Goldman Sachs is the investor to allow this initiative to get started, and they've considered what the program will be and what the outcomes are, and we've all agreed on what the evaluation will be on whether or not those outcomes are being achieved. So at this point, Goldman Sachs has no role other than to receive the report of our independent evaluator and move forward with us in terms of watching the results. But they don't have any management responsibility for the program. And the design and implementation, as you mentioned, is being done by MDRC with two community providers, Osborne Association and Friends of Island Academy, who will be the frontline nonprofit groups that would be working with the young people on Rikers and then in the community after they're discharged from jail.
And I want to make sure I understand how the results are going to be measured. So the idea is if recidivism decreases by 10%, Goldman gets its money back. If the decrease in recidivism is more than 10%, they get a $2.1 million profit. And if the recidivism rate doesn't, let's see, decreased by 10%, then the idea is in another social impact bond, they would be out their investment. But in this New York City example, Mayor Bloomberg's foundation is involved. We can get to that in a minute. But just to start, what is the current recidivism rate among young men in this population at Rikers?
Sure, yeah. And you've pretty much got it there in the how the terms are structured. These, really shockingly, for young men who are now on Rikers Island, the chance that they're going to find themselves back on Rikers Island within a year is just about 50%. So about half of the young men will be back on Rikers within a year of their discharge.
Within
and so this is why the mayor has focused on this issue from the get-go. Our goal is to help these people with options, better support when they return to the community to help their chances of success. But ultimately, the driver of that has got to be the young people themselves. We'll provide supports, but they've got to have the choice, to make the choices that are going to take advantage of whatever opportunities we can make available to them. And so the goal in this, the way that the terms are structured, is that if the intervention demonstrates that there is a 10% reduction in that traditional rate of reincarceration, that's our break-even point. That's essentially the point where the city's costs are covered and we have enough to repay Goldman this $9.6 million investment. If the recidivism drops are better than that, Goldman will increasingly get a return on their investment, maxing out at that $11.7 million. And so that's the maximum. So if we get, let's say we're wildly successful and we cut the reincarceration by half, you know, that's really tremendous. The taxpayers will save tens of millions of dollars, but Goldman will not save more than that maximum $11.7 million, which is an increment of 2.1 over their initial investment.
But that $2.1 million, you could say it's a performance bonus in some ways. The $2.1 million is taxpayer money that will go to Goldman if it exceeds the goal of a 10% drop in the recidivism rate.
That's exactly right, and that's money that now the taxpayers are spending on keeping these young people behind bars. At the point that in that scenario where Goldman gets a return of 11.7, the total return to the taxpayers will be $20 million. And so even under that scenario, the taxpayers' benefits will exceed that of the benefit that goes to Goldman.
$20 million in savings from incarceration cost.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
So,
and then the flip side that you mentioned is that if the rates of recidivism do not drop by 10%, then Goldman will not see its original investment returned. In order to structure this deal in a way that is made sense and was an attractive investment for Goldman, the Bloomberg Philanthropies developed a very creative guarantee fund. This is money that $7.2 million that traditionally under a foundation relationship with a government partner, they would use those dollars and provide it as a grant. And here's $7.2 million. Spend these dollars on your intervention and let's work and learn together to see if this works. Instead, in this scenario, rather than just using the foundation money to pay for the program, they're using it as a guarantee fund to help to leverage that private investment from Goldman. If the project doesn't work, Goldman will lose $9.6 million but will receive the $7.2 million in security that's been offered and will move on to the next idea.
So they've got about $2 million on the line if there's failure.
Exactly. $2.4 million ultimately is the maximum loss that Goldman will take, other than the time value of money and all of the transaction costs that they incur in the deal.
And you mentioned, you said this is a very creative way to structure this with this foundation backing to limit Goldman's risk. It's also very New York City specific. So while this is the first example in the States, we've looked at a British model, but the first example of an American city, how replicable is this, if you have Mayor Bloomberg's personal foundation kicking in $7 million to help soften the risk for a private investor?
Well, exactly, and that's exactly what the foundation has in mind when they're doing this. Their government innovation division there at the Philanthropies is working with cities across the country working in mayor's offices, helping to foster and support innovation in government at the municipal level. And this guarantee fund was shaped by that unit with an eye toward not only replicating here in New York City, but helping to foster a national conversation around the potential for social impact bonds as a financing vehicle for community-based innovations.
So why is Bloomberg Philanthropies not just giving money to cities and calling it a day, saying we think these programs, prevention programs, are effective, let's just give the money and have you do them?
Well, sure. I mean, they are doing that. This, in fact, was part of a $30 million investment the foundation made in the mayor's Young Men's Initiative. And that's traditional. That is what foundations do. It's what they're great at. They have really fostered so much innovation and just expanded the level of community-based services that are available to citizens in different cities across the country. What this is really trying to advance the practice and think about creating new tools and new mechanisms. It's a creative new approach to thinking about philanthropy, and we're all going to sit together and watch this and learn and see if it works. And if it works, that'll be fabulous because it'll strengthen the range of tools that we have available. It's not to substitute for the more traditional forms of philanthropic activity, but it creates a potential of a more varied approach. And if it doesn't work, then we'll have a lesson that we can learn from. Even out of failed experiments, I've often found some of the most important lessons. Maybe it'll teach us a new path, or maybe we'll just say, you know, gee, that really didn't work after all.
Do you think there'd be more pressure for Goldman to make it work if they had more skin in the game?
Oh, I think that there's plenty of skin in the game here. This is the first time. It's a pretty big step for an investment bank. There's a within the bank, there's a national obligation for banks to do community investment, and this is a new tool in those community investment units. It's a very bold step for Goldman to take to partner with us. I think it reflects a real strong relationship between the city and the bank and the foundation and our community providers. And so we're all, you know, we're all working on strong relationships and trust, and we're all going to learn together.
So Goldman had $900 million in profits last quarter. This $2 million is coming out of their community investment side, not their charitable side. So this is the idea, is we're gonna get a return on this investment.
That's exactly right. And the community investment practices have are longstanding, and they have typically involved a lot of housing development work, affordable housing development to expand affordable housing options. And so this is similarly for the bank, looking at diversifying the various ways that the banks can meet that community investment obligation and can help to work with their municipal partners in thinking about how we can solve really tough, intractable social problems.
And good public relations in the process. I have one final question for you, Deputy Mayor Linda Gibbs, and that is, in the New York Times story on this yesterday, Jeffrey Liebman, a Harvard economist and former Obama administration official who's an expert in social impact bonds, said this could be the most interesting government contract written anywhere in the world this year. Is there somewhere online we can go to see the terms of this contract and how it's laid out?
Absolutely. We will be, this will be published as part of an innovative procurement that will be subject to a public evaluation and review, so that after the year's time, we will make a decision about whether or not this is something that we would want to make a permanent rule for contracting in the city. And so that notice is being developed now. And as soon as we have those terms finalized, the document is a public document.
As soon as those terms are finalized. And I just want to ask about the conversation about the philosophy of this program that happened as you were putting this together. Government programs are supposed to hold up the social good. That's supposed to be their primary driver, not profit. What was the conversation about whether this kind of, you know, distorts incentives about how government works when you were putting this together?
Sure. You know, it, I understand that that concern. I think, and in fact, if we didn't have that concern in mind as we were putting this deal together, We wouldn't have been smart. We would have been ignoring a very real dynamic in the relationship. And that's why all of the terms from the get-go were focused on whether or not we were achieving the type of positive social outcome we want to achieve and whether or not the taxpayers were saving money as well. And from there, with all of the terms agreed on up front before we enter into the work and the evaluation mechanisms established up front before we enter into the work, we have inoculated the city from the undue influence that a profit motive might have. And that is really key in terms of structuring the social impact bond, that you know what you want first in terms of the public good of achieving those better outcomes for our young Black and Latino men in New York City.
And all of this is about measuring the results in the end. So tell me again, you mentioned there's going to be independent measurement of how effective this program is. Who is doing that, and how can we know that there's not some incentive to juke the stats in a way so Goldman gets its profit in the end?
Yeah, great question. We have engaged the Vera Institute of Justice, which is a New York City-based research organization. They do work internationally, but they're here. They're strong partners on our criminal and social justice work in New York City, and they will be doing the evaluation. They're independent of all of the parties. They're independent of the city and of MDRC and of Goldman and of the foundation. And the data itself will be administrative data that is kept through the Department of Corrections census management. And so that for every person that enters the Department of Corrections, the fact that they're there, how long they stay, and when they are discharged is part of the automated computer system at the Department of Corrections. That is how they manage the jails. And that is the database that will provide the information as to whether or not this has actually had an impact of seeing fewer of these young men come back, and if they do come back, fewer days of the time that they're in jail.
That's Linda Gibbs, Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services for the city, talking about the deal Goldman Sachs investing nearly $10 million to try to reduce recidivism among young men at Rikers. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Well, thank you for having me.
And up next, we're taking calls. If you have gymnastics fever like me, we want to hear from you. How much do you love Gabby Douglas? 212-433-WNYC. We're going to talk about gymnastics, what it is about gymnastics in particular that just makes our hearts soar. I'm Anna Sale, and for Brian Lehr, stay with us.